With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Yeah, good evening and welcome to another episode of the Real Millwall Fan Show. It's Acton Millwall in conjunction with the Lucas Roll Report. Does he have one ball? Does he have two balls? Does he have any balls at all? It's the Lucas Ball Report as we look on following that chocolate extravaganza Easter Monday up the Villa and, a narrow, narrow defeat for Millwall. Joining me this evening to look back at an interesting Easter for the Lions is the impresario, the daddy of all things Millwall. It's Mr. Nick Hart.
Accept no substitute, dear listeners. Accept no substitute.
Exactly. The king of the club shop, the big man of bargains, it's young Mickey Avery.
I've got the price gun in my hand, Mr. Paul, as we speak.
Good man. And, of course, we've got Chernobyl Charlie, the legend that is. Currently in reactor number 4. His documentary is about to come out on Sky Atlantic. Check it out next week. Chernobyl Charlie, are you with us?
I am still with you. I am about to be put into the radiation shower as we speak.
You keep those isotopes glowing, mate. You keep them glowing. Very quickly, just while we're doing
this
intro.
I've just seen a bloke who looks suspiciously like Sheldon Archer.
Oh, yeah. Well, maybe he's got a part-time little gig going on there.
He needs a new job.
Yeah, speaking of like the intros, I just want to say congratulations to Fulham captain Tom Kearney, who celebrated the birth of his son this week, and has named him possibly the worst name I could ever think of. He's named his son Aubrey.
Aubrey? Wow.
And all I can think of is Only Fools and Horses. When he's just like, is anyone out there called Aubrey?
I am here.
Aubrey Kearney.
Your name was Aubrey?
Yeah.
Poor little son.
Old Aubrey Kearney. So, yeah, good luck with the bullying, Aubrey Kearney. Anyway, let's look back at...
I think he'll go to private school and be fine, mate. I won't worry about him too much.
Fair enough. Let's look back at an interesting weekend, an Easter weekend for the Lions. A point at home to Brentford when, let's be fair, Millwall should have got all three. Brentford down to 10 men early on in the game. We're looking back at a narrow defeat at the hands of Aston Villa, who I think it's a 10th straight win now for the Villains. Gents, you were there for the game at the Den. Yeah, what was it like?
Yeah.
Den, we should have beaten Brentford by all normal reckoning, but unfortunately, the truth of it was, Aaron, that Brentford looked the better side, looked the hungrier side, certainly had more quality. And I think that Q word, quality, has been where we've fallen short all season. The fact that it's a London derby, there was no sense of dynamism for me over the course of the game. I didn't see much dynamism at Villa Park on Monday on watching the stream. So it was a very disappointing weekend for me. Results have combined to make it a better weekend than it probably otherwise should have been. I was just saying off air, listeners, it's the kind of season where you just can't wait for it to end now. You know, I think everyone, Neil Harris included, just wants to get through to safety and get over the line and just get it over and done with, get through to the summertime.
Young Mickey, it feels like Millwall aren't like walking to this finish line. They're just sort of like tripping every other step. They're stumbling like a pissed man walking down Zampa Road, mate. What's going on?
Do you know what? It's not even the sort of the fact that the opposition are sort of that much better than us, if you get what I'm trying to say. Like Brentford were, you know, like head and shoulders above us. It's the fact we don't seem to learn from mistakes. I mean, 5 minutes after we scored, they scored that effort in the top corner.
Yes.
And then just before half time, they had an identical effort where he's hit the crossbar. And you think, you know, you've been punished by letting the man cut inside 10, 15 yards with the ball. To let him do it again 20 minutes later, or the same play, should I say, not the same player, but the same play again. No, it's just unforgivable. And we must be the only team in the country that when the team goes down to 10 men against you, you half fancy the 10 men. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, we've seen that many, many times, haven't we? I mean, it's almost become a standing joke in the Den. Once the other team go down to 10 men, the celebratory nature of the red card goes out the window because you know we're going to struggle against 10. I don't know why it should be so. We're set up basically as a counter-attacking team.
Listeners, he just had the greatest speech ever made, and then it got cut out.
It was the get your burger dress of football, and then unfortunately the internet let him down.
Ben Thompson going out of the game is what can only be described as the only Millwall player with a clue at the moment. I mean, I said it on Sky on Easter Monday after watching us at Villa. Without him, we're lost. It's ridiculous. I mean, what were we doing before we had him? Because I can't remember a time before Ben Thompson all season. Do you know what I mean? It's so weird that suddenly he's become, gone from being on loan and it don't matter, to suddenly becoming the most important player in the side. You know, you can't make it up.
Exactly. And like we said as well, Harry, in our sort of like, as we said between the four of us on the weekends, let's be brutally honest, when you loan out a young player to the lower divisions, you don't expect them to come straight back into your first team and arguably be player of the season. We're not going to get into the conversation of you can vote him or not, because, you know, we've gone over that enough times. Mm. But when he's playing at that level where you think, let's be honest, you were in the division below. Yes, you were top of the division below, but you were still at technically a poorer standard. You weren't one of, on paper, the better midfielders. That's why we let you go. And arguably, let's be honest, it was only the form at Portsmouth that brought him back, because I think that we would have kept him there all season. And it's a testament to him as a player, but also Harry, those around him have got to ask, how has this young man, credit to him or not, walked into this team so easily?
He should never have been let out on loan, should he? Last season, the only reason why he weren't getting into the side was because we were on a fantastic run. And we kept him out the side, we played 4-4-2, that was it. You know, you loaned him out, for some unknown reason, Jem Carrican was seen as the future, a man that had no hips left, and, you know, looked like he was tracking treacle. And, you know, it's just debilitating, really. And so's that fucking alarm.
I've missed that speech announcer that you have up at Chernobyl there.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that. Someone can't get their shit together and get their line running tonight.
Let's push on and talk about the game Easter Monday. Aston Villa, of course, you know, it was always going to be a tough game. They were chasing a record-breaking 10th successive league win. They've created a new club record. They've broken a record that stood since 1910. You know, that it was an interesting goal by Jonathan Codger. And you've got to pay tribute to Dave Martin as well, who kept Millwall in the game in the latter stages. He was absolutely brilliant. But there were chances for Millwall.
Yeah, we had a good shot from Jed Wallace early in the first half. And I didn't think we looked too bad in the first half. I mean, I posted on Twitter that we weren't too bad without being all that great either. It was a very it was a workmanlike performance in the first half. Villa took their chance where we don't take our chances. And I didn't think we ever really showed much. Once we went behind, I didn't think we ever stood much chance of getting back into it. And the fact that we didn't bring our Millwall A game to the occasion, given the circumstances, we were playing like it was an end of season, mid-table, going nowhere kind of fixture. And I just find that unforgivable. What lies behind it, I don't know. You'll see a lot of stuff on the net about the managerial decisions, the choices at various critical points of the season. But at the end of the day, I mean, I certainly accept that Neil Harris is ultimately responsible, but it's the 11 players that go out onto the pitch. I mean, I didn't see enough drive and effort. I'm going to sound a bit like Roy Keane last night, Aaron, so I apologise to you, because on a reduced basis, that's what the criticism I would level at some of these Millwall players, that they just weren't putting 100% into that game on Easter Monday, for me.
I don't think it's just Easter Monday, Nick. I think it's been a lot of the season that the players need to look at themselves, if honest. I know that sounds harsh, and I know, but when you're in this sort of dogfight and you're near the bottom of the table, you need to win games. And with all due respect, I know you said it was an okay performance and it was a workmanlike performance. It doesn't mean anything if you're in the bottom three at the end of the season. We need to pick up points. We need to win games, or at least worst case scenario, pick up a draw somewhere.
At the end of this kind of drab campaign, I mean, there's one or two moments. I put a post on Twitter earlier on about highlights and low lights, and many people come back with the same kind of moments, the Everton game being the cup game being the highlight of the season. And the reason it was such a highlight was it felt like Millwall for once. You know, the crowd were fired up, you could touch the atmosphere, the team were fired up, giving 100%. And there's been whole stretches of the season where the team has been second best, third best. Talk about the tactics, yeah, okay, hoof ball, long ball, direct, whatever way you want to put it, but If the players don't bring 100% to, even if you don't like the tactics, they don't bring 100%. No manager on earth can do any do any more than what you're seeing.
I think Neil Harris is desperate for this season to end. Absolutely begging and pleading.
This is not the only
just,
one.
Just to end. Mate. But you know, you can tell by his demeanour, the way he talks to journos, the way he seems very impatient. He seems very aggy. I don't like using the word, you know, but he seems very aggy. He doesn't want to stick around. He literally just wants to move on. And I really wonder, you know, how many of that squad will be there next season, how many he'd look to bring in. I think he's got a hell of a job on next season.
I saw a lot of, there was a post earlier of a lot of players who are going to be out of contract at the end of the season. And you do get that sense of a clear out time. A lot of very average players who have performed below average for me this season.
Achtung, Millwall.
Easter Monday's result was obviously wishy-washy in one sense. I mean, obviously Aston Villa are on a roll, 10-game roll. You don't do that unless you're a very, very strong side. But I just don't think we brought our Millwall Millwall vibe to the occasion. I'm just looking at a few tweets here. I mean, Dan said Dave Martin was the only player to come out of any credit from the game on Monday. The rest couldn't be bothered. There's losing, having a go, and then there's this. No bottle from the majority of these players. Need a massive overhaul. And he name checks Meredith, Leonard, Morrison, Elliot and Marshall. All terrible.
Here's a question, though, right? Touching on that, what some of those tweets, what people are saying. And I will be honest, I do agree with most of them, because some of the performances I've seen this season have been poor. Do you think this is a Millwall thing or a lack of budget? Or do you think this actually may be a wider thing in football? Because as we were discussing off air before, Manchester United haven't seemed like they've been bothered all season. You know, you've got arguments where other clubs in the Premier League who should be up there aren't. You know, Huddersfield are down there at the bottom, they're giving it a go, fair enough. But, you know, Fulham, They've never been there.
I'm not denying that Millwall don't give it a go. They give it a go, but it's the quality, mate. Like, for example, I'm going to look at the Rotherham United squad and I can pick out probably three or four players that would actually probably make a difference. Rotherham are actually giving it a fucking go. And you've got to say fair play to them for that. You know, like, you look at someone like Matic on the left-hand side. He's a decent player. They had Kiefer Moore. I don't know where the hell he's gone. But, you know, Ben Purrington, he's on loan at Charlton. He's a decent player. Rodak isn't a bad keeper either. Don't get me wrong, he's shipping goals for fun. But, you know, he's done very, very well for him. But, like, you know, I just think there's such a distinct lack of quality in that squad that, you know, I mean, Millwall could have caused problems for Villa on Monday. Mate, it was there. And the problem with Villa is, as I mentioned to everyone, you know, give it an hour. They'll play champagne football for an hour and then they'll get frustrated. You frustrate them for an hour and it's like an alligator. Yeah, you can pounce on him then. I don't know how long it takes to pounce on an alligator, but yeah, you can get him. Yeah, but like, it was like, Who would you bring on? Fucking Morrison. Morrison, mate. Like, just... Oh.
Yeah, there's no depth on the bench, is there, at all? We had a similar thing last season, didn't we, where, you know, like, Neil Harris was picking the same 11 or, you know, due to sort of suspensions, whatever he would put people on. But I remember last season, and Nick, you'll know a bit more as well, you turn around and you'd think the bench doesn't inspire much confidence. You know, you had a certain amount of players who, maybe apart from Cahill, you'd look at and think, would you put sort of Elliot on in front of Morrison the way Morrison played last year? You know, would you put some of these players on this year? I think it's got worse. Like, as you just touched on there, Aaron, you're chasing a game, you're chasing a goal. You need to win a game or you need to sort of equalise. And all you've got is, with all due respect, Steve Morrison and Jerry Scalak. And that's no disrespect to those players, but if you look at Scalak, he's not kicked a ball for months.
No,
does that inspire?
When we had reception with Harry earlier on, he made a very good point about the loss of Ben Thompson. I mean, Thompson, losing Thompson in the course of the Brentford game changed it completely. There was suddenly no dynamism in midfield. There was no one willing to, you know, make that extra kind of tackle, that extra yard in pace. And unforgivably for me, no one that seems to take up the leadership role. I mean, for a young boy of, I don't know how old Ben is now, he must be early 20s, but for him to be the linchpin, having been away at Pompey and still fundamentally learning his trade, is a damning indictment. I mean, I watched the goal on Easter Monday was kind of fairly soon after a very, very loose pass from Ryan Leonard, a player that I've praised recently because I thought, well, maybe he's starting to turn a corner. I wasn't very impressed with him at the start of the season when he first came to us. He improved. But then to make such a loose pass in such a critical situation, which then led on to a passage of play in the end produced a goal, I just think it just indicates a team that, I mean, as you say, Aaron, it lacks such quality. And, you know, I'm not saying we've got to be Barcelona. I don't think we can be Barcelona, but, you know, we can do better than what we're doing at the moment. It unfortunately keeps coming back to the quality of the manager. And it's a hard thing to say because Neil Harris is who he is. He occupies this place in the pantheon of Millwall legends, but there's only one man in the end makes the decisions, and that's him.
I disagree with you, but I agree with you on some bits. Maybe he's not a great man manager, but as a coach, he's got something decent out of, let's be fair, I reckon it's a poor squad of players. He's managed to keep them fighting. He really, really, really has managed to do that. And you look at last season, he managed to do what he did last season, which was absolutely brilliant. But, you know, let's be fair. You know, I know the second coming of Jesus was at Easter, but Neil Harris ain't a fucking miracle worker. Do you know what I mean? He's not someone who you expect miracles off. But he has done very, very well with his squad. And I'm just thinking, is it a case of... And do you know what, actually, funny enough, 8 goals from Bradshaw and things could be different. Things could have been different, you know?
Yeah, we've had no luck.
No, zero. And another striker, Nick. Let's be fair, in January, it's baffling how they didn't go and get another striker. Baffling. Absolutely not. Elliot, I'm sorry, is not good enough, mate. Is not good enough. How they didn't go for Lyle Taylor in the summer, I don't know. Like, just where is the recruitment team? You really got to wonder these things. But, you know, I'd love to hear from actually some Millwall fans, actually. What do you want from this summer? Do you want Neil Harris to walk away? Because his personality and his demeanour at the moment isn't very positive. Do you want him to walk away? Do you want to bring someone else in? Someone with a different vibe, with a different way of doing things? You know, let's be fair. When a club tries to change its image, when a club tries to change its style of football drastically, it takes time, it doesn't work. Let's look at Crystal Palace down the road. They, you know, they left off, I think it was with Big Sam, didn't they? You know, playing Route 1 with Big Sam, they brought in De Boer and sacked him off after 7 games because he was trying to play a different brand of football. Are you going to get someone who's going to come in next season trying to impose a style and then it all fucks up and we all go down? Or are we saying, we've got Neil Harris right now, give him the money, give him the tools, John Barrowson, give him £2 million, £3 million, £4 million, let him go and raid the free transfers, let him work well with loans, go and do some business and bring in players that will actually settle Millwall into the mid-table?
I think the problem with... investment's right. I mean, we are in the Championship, which is... it's not the Premier League, Aaron, but it is a very rich man's league in its own right. Probably in European terms, it would stand up with many, many national leagues around the continent. So it's no place for, you know, sticky back plastic and sellotape approach, which is how, kind of how we're trying to do it. We're a small fish in a very, very big pond. So, yeah, there is a need for investment. I would love Neil Harris to succeed. I mean, you know, everyone that's sort of my generation's going back, you know, we know who Neil Harris is. We know what he represents. We know the story. And we want this kind of this romantic Hollywood movie ending where he's a successful manager. I think you're right. He's got maximum out of some very limited players. It poses the question as to who signed those players. I mean, Tom Elliott, who signed him? Well, that was Neil Harris. Was it 1.5 million for Ryan Leonard, or was it 1.25 million for Ryan Leonard? He's not really delivered that amount of money by Millwall. Big money by Millwall.
He's come from League One, League Two, though. Let's be fair, like Ryan Leonard. You know, he had his best spell of form in League Two when Southend were promoted back in 2015. But, you know, I just want to like bring it on something else, Nick. You look at Sheffield United. Sheffield United have proven you can do it without an extortionate budget. Next season is going to be interesting. Derby will not have the same resources as this season, next season. Neither will Middlesbrough, neither will Bristol City. I don't think Hull will. Sheffield Wednesday won't. I've been told on good grounds that Swansea are, they could be going under. Their American owners want out. Forest more than likely have another FFP thing. Brentford, their owner, £100 million. QPR have got an embargo. Birmingham have got financial shit. Reading have got financial shit. Wigan have got financial shit. You know, the teams coming from below. I can't see Luton going and spending big. Sunderland, if they come up, who knows? You know, I think next year it'll be a more competitive division, but you won't see, you know, the masses of spending that you're seeing at the moment. You won't see Norwich going out like £20 million or however much it is on a whole on transfers. I really think there is going to be the Millwall scouting team, the recruitment team, they need to go and look for value. They need to look for value and they need to be shrewd in what they do. Looking at the loans market, looking at the free transfers and seeing who they can pick up. Again, look at Sheffield United. They don't spend big bucks. They've managed to do it. They've managed to do something well, and it's proved it's paid off very, very well.
Where is the value, if you don't mind me asking? I mean, obviously your knowledge of like football in the lower leagues is a lot more than ours. But if you look, for example, was it Tom Pope when he was at sort of Notts County or someone like that a few years ago, or Port Vale or somewhere like that, wasn't it, in League Two, when he scored like 28 goals? I think Millwall sniffed around him, and they were like £800,000. £800,000 for a League Two striker. You know, I know he scores goals, but that is still the fourth tier of English football, and they want nearly £1 million for him. Where do you look if you haven't got that money, you know?
The recruitment team went for a phase of earning nothing but praise amongst Millwall circles, and they were, you know, the players they were bringing in were Millwall type players, to coin a phrase. And it just seems to have gone a little bit off the boil. We've signed Bradshaw, got injured immediately, and that's terribly bad luck. You know, that's football, but that took away one of our £1 million signings, which is, you know, we broke the club record to sign him, and then he's gone almost as he arrived. Although there was a period where he didn't play, which I found odd. But anyway, there's been these bizarre decisions like that. Then he's injured, so everyone moves on from that. The Ryan Leonard was 1.something million, another major signing in Millwall terms. He's okay. He's had moments where I start to see the glimmer of the player that I think that we thought we were signing. And then he'll make a loose pass. He's not as valuable to us as, say, Jules Savile was last year. I don't know what's become of Jules Savile. He's probably starting for Middlesbrough or how it's going for him up there. But the players we've signed this season have not been brilliant. Skalak got ill. That's another sad story, isn't it? You know, not played much. We haven't seen anything of him. And it's just been this succession of passages of games, phases of games where we've looked fucking awful. And there's been too many of these incidents throughout the season where you start to look for something beyond just the individuals. It becomes a malaise of the squad. And I just don't think the squad generally at the moment is up to it. And we saw that at Villa Park. So I just don't think we brought anything to that particular party.
I worry next year. And I think personally, I think the loan market could be much better used. But you know, I'm gonna bring it back to a question which I've used on other pods, and I've used talking to other, you know, fans of other clubs, which is, you know, when players are being loaned from the big clubs, sort of, you know, your United, your Liverpool's, Chelsea's, Arsenal, City's, do they look at the club who they're sending the player to and question whether their player is going to be improved by X manager or Y manager? And I look at someone like Harry Wilson, who went to Derby, you know, from Liverpool. Absolutely class act. But do you reckon that Liverpool sat there and gone, you know what, you'd actually learn something from Frank Lampard there? In the same way Fred Onyedimma, Fred went to Wickham. Do you reckon Neil Harris has gone, do you know what, I reckon he will learn something from Gareth Ainsworth down there, you know, how to become a more gritty player, X, Y, Z. Do you reckon people don't want to send players to Millwall? Is that the situation? What is it?
I think that, and me and Nick have touched on this before, and I think that as much as there is a Millwall type player, don't get me wrong, you know, like we had this argument before with the types of Lewis Grabbins and, you know, people say that. But I do also think that sometimes we play on that a bit too much, if you get what I'm trying to say. Because, for example, when under Holloway, when we signed, was it Fabbrini from Middlesbrough? Now, I didn't think he did too bad for us. Don't get me wrong, he was an okay-ish player in a poor side. But as soon as Neil Harris came in, he sent him straight back and was like, he's not a Millwall type player, which is fine. However, at the time, Fabbrini wasn't actually doing too bad and was one of the better players. So I think that, and I remember Neil Harris saying last season, I don't know if you remember as well, Nick, when he said that he's had offers of certain players. I think there was talks of like Arsenal youngsters, and basically he turned them down because they were saying they could only have a certain, like they had to play a certain amount of minutes. And Neil Harris said, no, they're only good. But I think that Millwall and Neil Harris play on that too much, if you get what I'm trying to say.
I mean, a classic example for me of a player who improved by coming to another manager at Millwall was Harry Kane. He came from Spurs, and that was under Kenny Jackett, I think, Michael, when
yes,
Kane played
right.
for us. And, you know, that particular story is now legend. You know, we all know where Harry Kane finished up, and he came to us as a youngster. He'd been around a few other clubs, but he came to Millwall, and it's widely publicised that that's probably where he really learned the value of his own talent and what it meant, what it could do for himself and the team around him. So, and it's interesting that Ben Thompson has gone to Kenny Jackett at Pompey and has clearly improved. He's got depth to his game now that he didn't have previously. He's got almost an extra second on the ball now that he didn't seem to have in his previous guise. So clearly, other clubs, to answer your point, Aaron, other clubs feel they can send players to maybe the likes of a Kenny Jackett, a highly experienced player and manager. Whereas, do they send them to Neil Harris? Well, we're not seeing any, are we? We're not. So, there must be a reason behind that, and it's harsh. But football is a harsh business, and you're governed by the results. If they're not going your way, as they're not been going our way for much of the season, then in the role of manager, the buck stops with you, and quite a well paid buck, incidentally. I think sometimes we forget that these are players and the managers that are, you know, they're not on the London living wage. They're doing okay, so they are entitled to be criticised because people pay good money to go and watch their team, who they care about deeply. And, you know, I keep coming back to the Bolton game where we travelled the length of the country and saw an absolutely appalling display from a Mill team that were way, way off the pace. And there was a torrent of abuse because people just had enough of it. So I don't buy this idea that some people should be beyond criticism. I do think that the team this season has been poor. Some of the players we've signed have been poor. I think Tom Elliott is a very willing player, but, you know, you could easily put him into a League Two team, a League One bottom table of a League One side. He came from AFC Wimbledon, no disrespect to them, but, you know.
You got the wrong striker.
We've got the wrong striker.
The wrong striker from Wimbledon, put very, very simply.
And finding the right striker is the job of people who do, you know, that's what they get paid for. And if you don't do it, it's a results business. And unfortunately, we've not performed well this season. This is a big summertime coming up, though. There's a lot of players out of contracts. I did have a list of them earlier. I can't find it for the moment, but I'm sure about half of the current squad are out of contract, including the likes of Jordan Osh. I'm sure I read Tunnicliffe and one or two others.
Can I just say, Dave Martin needs to get a new deal.
He's done really well for us.
His experience will prove telling next year. I think it really, really will be important, especially if we're bringing a new back line in, or, you know, a couple of players into the back line, or whatever you're doing, a new fullback. To have someone whose experience is solid, I think you do very well.
I think Dave Martin kept us in the game at Villa Park. It would have been more, but for Dave Martin's, you know, skills in goal. He has his little moments. I mean, obviously, he'll be haunted by the Brighton last minute for a long time to come. He sometimes looks a little bit flappy at some balls, but that's, you know, so did Jordan Archer previously, and so do many other goalkeepers you see in the modern game.
He's a good steady Eddie to have. He's like that kind of Tim Carter goalkeeper we had when Casey Keller was there, you know, that sort of, you know, he'll be a good steady number two if your goalkeeper breaks his hand and is out for 6 weeks. And that's no disrespect to Dave Martin's ability. You know, if we had a good solid number one, that'd be a very good one and two pairing, in my opinion.
Dan Bentley from Brentford. Yeah. I hear he's on the way out.
Exactly. Bentley is your one and Martin is your two. I'll take that all day long.
The quality of the crossing on Monday and for that matter against Brentford on Good Friday was very poor. I think, you know, if we're going to be criticising, we've got to be criticising Ben Marshall and Jed Wallace, because the number of times balls are coming in from the wings on either side and not beating the first defender was, well, you lose count of it.
I mean, credit Jed. He had a great opportunity and the keeper saved very, very well.
He did well,
From Jed Wallace. So, you know, you've got to give him the ball. I agree with you.
Yeah, that was our one shot on goal. I can't remember any others offhand on Monday at all. It's tough. It's the end of a long, hard season. I'm really looking forward to the end of it. I'm hoping that we survive, obviously. And I think we've got lucky with results. Rotherham getting beaten on Easter Monday was a massive result for us. Birmingham putting three past them. And by hook or by crook, we now have one more win. If we can get a win over Stoke on Saturday, we can... you know, heave a huge sigh of relief. Even if Rotherham get beat on Saturday, I think that pretty much leaves us mathematically safe. But I'm looking forward to getting this season over and done with.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
The Wonderwall Cup 2019 will be held at the Den, Bank Holiday Sunday, May the 26th, 2019. Lions legends including Jimmy Carter, Alex Ray and the star of Championship manager Cherno Samba will take on the stars of social media, including the F2 freestylers Bradley Simmons and comedian Manlike Hacks. Why not make it a family day out? £10 entry fee for adults, £6 for the under-16s and just £3 for the under-12s. The proceeds from the match will be split 50-50 between Childline and the veterans charity SAFA. Tickets are available now at www.millwalltickets.com. www.millwalltickets.com. The Wonderwall Cup, Sunday, May the 26th, 2019. See you there.
Nick, looking on, anything else on social media, pal?
It's a pretty much a torrent of you know, poor comment. But one thing I put on the Twitter earlier on was asked for a few highlights and lowlights of the season. So just one here, SB Bridport line, highlight of the season was Everton. I think everyone probably would go for that.
Great game.
You know, great occasion. Mm. low light Bolton after two nights in Manchester. So, hero for the season for SB has been Ben Thompson. And I think, you know, we've said it a few times in this show already, how one young player can come in and make that amount of difference is been incredible. I've asked for a few villains. So we've got, SB says, Yuri Skalak. I think that's a bit harsh on Yuri, because I don't think he's really done that much.
I think people have forgotten what he looks like.
I know he's got like a Mohican-style haircut, isn't he?
I never knew that.
Hashtag vote Skalak.
Skalak.
A voice that I respect, Tony Monday, but he puts his opinions in a no holds barred way. He's almost like the Roy Keane of Millwall in some ways. Tony, I know you're listening to the show, mate.
Hello, Tony.
He's, I mean, one post here from earlier on. No coincidence, says Tony. After Harris was, you know, the long ball tactics, the direct style was started to draw the abuse of fans. That the tactics changed. We do look better when we try and work the ball around. We've you know been working the ball in little triangles more in recent games, and when it works quite well. He said that we're trying to amend our. You know, Harris says we try and amend our system according to the opposition, which Tony takes issue with, because we said we played 36 games hoofing it when we could have been playing another style.
Can I do one, please, Nick?
Yeah.
Can I shout out Sharon Wentworth, whose username is at Wentworth Sharon. Good idea there, Sharon. I like that. She sent us.
You'll never know you are Sharon.
Yeah, exactly. She sent us a cold blow laying and captured on BBC, sorting my flag out. It's a lovely little video of the BBC of her sorting her flag out during the Brighton game. But then her during the Everton game, it's a lovely photo of her with like a hat and the Den 25 years scarf sat right next to the dugout. And I'll tell you something, Sharon. We will put that off. We'll send that off to the club. We'll send that off to Mr. Bye for now. And hopefully, give it a year or two, you'll probably be in the club shop or something in a frame or something like that. So, yeah, nice one for the picture, Sharon. I really appreciate it, mate.
Well, we've got the club shop highlights coming up later. And almost if they'll sell you a framed photo, Sharon, then they will do, because they'll anything for money in the club shop.
How dare you?
Grumpy Grimace picks out Everton. Low light for Grumpy is the defeat to Swansea at home 1-0. I'd forgotten this game.
Can I shout Grumpy out as well?
I thought that was 2-1.
1-0 up, Swansea down to 10 men. We lost.
Sorry.
We were leading and then they come back and beat us 2-1.
And hit the post in the 90th minute.
I'd forgotten that one. That one had been erased from my mind.
I was just going to shout Grumpy out for his excellent knowledge of sartorial sort of. He's excellent sartorial knowledge, actually, because yesterday there was a post on Twitter about shirts and collars, and Grumpy was quick to mention, you know, the different types of collar, cuts of collar, and the different types of tie knots. And I'm very, very impressed. And I'll tell you something, that geezer, you know what he is? He's a culture vulture.
As in the Windsor knot, the four in hand, the old...
Exactly. The old school tie knot, the peanut, everything.
We maintain style at the day.
Yeah, that's something that you'd need on the final chase. That kind
mate,
of knowledge.
He's a legend, Grumpy. You know what, mate? You're a hero for that. Well done.
Grumpy's hero is Shane Ferguson, scoring a thunderbolt from a short corner. I'm just trying to think when that was. When did we scored a thunderbolt from a short corner? I'm just trying to think which game that was. But anyway, for me, the story of Shane's comeback has been wonderful. A real sporting story to come back from so far out in the cold and come back to be a first-choice player. Grumpy's villain. Put your hand over your ears on this one, Aaron. It's Love Sport Radio. I think this is a tad harsh on Love Sport. They were playing catchy up with TalkSport, really, weren't they? When the shit was hitting the fan earlier on in the season. interesting one here from a Birmingham fan, Tony Edmond, answering another tweet. He says, to be honest, Millwall, one of the best teams he's seen at St Andrews this season. That was a 2-0 win at Birmingham, wasn't it? The Blues were awful on the night, but the Lions were better than Leeds, he says, and Sheffield United and Derby. I mean, I think that's one odd thing from the season. I don't know if you'd agree with this, Michael, but it's been patchy because there's been moments where you've had a sense that there's something potentially there in the team, but they've just not produced it on any consistent basis. Not even within the game. We've had poor patches and then little moments where we've looked okay, and then it's all gone off, the wheels have come off the bus again. It fits and starts.
Yeah, exactly. It was like, I mean, I know it's easy to stay at the start of the season when you're sort of like living off what you did last year, but I mean, I thought the Derby game and the Middlesbrough games, I know the Middlesbrough game was disappointing, you know, how we conceded the late goals.
Yeah.
But the way the Derby and the Middlesbrough games were going, everyone was thinking, cool, we might actually be in with a sniff again. We're actually playing all right. And then to go away at Blackburn, get the draw, because if you get a promoted League One side early on, that's always got the potential to be a banana skin, especially away. And so to go away to Blackburn Rovers and get a draw as well, and then do well in the cup in the League Cup against the Plymouth and Gillinghams, you thought we're on a pretty, like, as you say, Nick, we're on a pretty decent run. And then the wheels fell off, the engine fell out, and everything else.
It sounds like one of the motors that Harry makes.
Or Harry's internet reception. It comes and goes. When it's good, it's very good. When it's bad, it's horrid. Middlesbrough, a few people have mentioned the opening game of the season, the opening day fixture against Middlesbrough at home. Charles Efford mentions Aidan O'Brien's first goal against Middlesbrough has been one of the highlights of the season. And then in the same game, the awful defensive second half, where I think we gave up a 2-0 lead, Michael, didn't we, in that game? It was, yeah. We were 2-0 up, and we gave it up. And in a sense, you could roll the whole season up into that 90 minutes, because it was a constant getting ourselves in front and then giving points up. Self-inflicted, other people have said. Self-inflicted damage. So
Can I interject here and tell everyone about a dream I had yesterday?
Another dream?
Oh, by all means.
Yeah, it involves Christoph Kine.
Christoph Kine. That is a good old name from the past, yeah?
Well, basically, I imagine that we were all playing in the Wonderwall Cup, yeah?
All right.
Which, by the way, will be live on Acton Millwall. Shout out.
Got some method. I don't know how it's going to happen yet, but anyway. Yeah,
don't worry. We're still working out if we can use like that, you know, cup on a string thing. But yeah.
Harry's doing it from Chernobyl, yeah.
Harry's head of engineering. So, you know, it might be live, but a year delay or something. Anyway, basically, the situation is you had Christoph Kine there, and like he gets up. And we're all like sitting there, and I don't know why we're playing, but we're in like full sort of gear.
Mm.
And Christoph Kine is there, but it's not him, it's Christoph Dugarry. Do you remember him? He used to play for Birmingham.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And he keeps saying, no, I'm Christoph Kine, just grow me hair and that. And I'm like, no, you're not, you're Christoph Dugarry, man. But yeah, and then I woke up. So,
that's a weird dream. You need therapy
for
that.
Very weird, mate. Very weird. It's all that cheese I've been eating before bed.
There was on a totally different subject. There was a wonderful Twitter thread. You have a thread on Twitter, don't you? From a bloke called Arthur Godfrey. I don't know if anyone's seen this. It's about I don't know which team he supports. He was on a railway carriage with Millwall fans coming back from Aston Villa.
Oh yeah.
And I thought it might be worth a reread just to tip our hats to Arthur Godfrey, who's taken quite a bit of praise actually. In all fair, one thing we can do is laugh at ourselves at the Den, and I think a lot of people have nodded to Arthur Godfrey for his comments about this curious breed of human known as Millwall fans. So he's come up with some hard and fast rules here to be a member or a Millwall fan, listeners. So see if you agree with this. We'll run through seven rules of being a Millwall fan. Number one is you do not wear club clothing or insignia under any circumstances. You don't wear replica shirts.
Have you seen the shit they sell in the club shop?
I think that applies for most people. You do get some, you do see a few shirts, but we don't sell anywhere near the amount of replica shirts that you'll see at some other clubs. I mean, it just isn't the market for it at the Den. So I think he's probably spot on. Would you agree with that, Michael? The club clothing doesn't really carry much favour at the Den, does it?
That's probably why they brought out a grey kit and an orange kit this year, because they know no one will buy it.
No
anyway.
One will wear it.
Can I just say, I'm interested in the orange kit.
That lurid orange, all orange affair.
I'm interested in it. I think it looked very good.
I was hoping for a better performance on Monday. We've actually not played badly when we're wearing that. That's obviously the Sheffield United away all orange kit. But on Monday, it seemed to work against us. Rule number two is you don't wear the club clothing, but you do wear overpriced casual designer wear. Stone Island, I would think, would be probably your label of choice. It's pity we've lost Harry, actually, because he's more the expert on what labels are in at the moment and what labels are out. I'm rather
or club shop khaki jackets.
Is Lacoste still in? I don't know, never know if Lacoste is still in or out, but that's that. If you ask me, a label is the one that almost comes to my, you know, first in my mind.
CNA.
CNA.
Joe Bloggs at Debenhams.
Harry Fenton. Yeah. Number three, rule number three, you have to have a permanent competition to sound the most cockney in the group. T's and H's are strictly forbidden, or fair boten, as he puts it. I've got to have a, like that. You've got to be glottal stops. You need a lot of glottal stops to be a Mill fan.
You what, yeah.
Number four, all other clubs are to be referred to as those cunts. All clubs are cunts, except clubs which have a reputation for violence or are referred to then as those fucking cunts. Rule number three applies when pronouncing these soubriquets. Soubriquet is a good word, isn't it? Soubriquet. So yeah, you mustn't pronounce your T's and H's if you're going to. Well, you wouldn't use that in those. I suppose in the team name you might have a T or an H, and you must not use it if you're also going to call them those fucking cunts from West Ham. West Ham, I suppose, would be the most appropriate one there. Every number five, every town or city you go to, Aaron, is called a shithole, except Cardiff and. Cardiff and Swansea, they're both called sheep shagging shit horse. Again, rule three applies about not pronouncing your T's and H's when you're saying that. Rule number six, train carriages labelled the quiet zone are an open invitation to invade and be thrice is another good word, thrice as loud as usual. Any summoned train guards are to be instructed to fuck right off.
I think that's fair.
I think I've been on that train. And finally, number seven, lager and cider must be consumed from breakfast onwards and relentlessly throughout the day. He says he thinks he could fit right in. And
well, no mention of coach one.
I was just going to say, yeah. Rule number eight, you never get on coach one.
and then he mentions the what we call the wall of sound, the monk chant, the glotto stopped syllable, meal. Which is eliminates L's from an eight letter word, which he says is quite an achievement. So
it's MEWWWWRRRWW. Yeah.
Yeah. So well done, Arthur Godfrey.
And not to be confused with Phil Spector, who shoots people by accident.
The wall of sound. Well done, Arthur Godfrey. I think that's quite an accurate summary of what it is to be a Millwall fan. So well done. I quite enjoyed reading that anyway. And
nice one, Arthur, lad.
Absolutely. So shall we do the club shop, Michael? Is it time for the club shop update?
Where you can find bargains of the Casbah.
I'll lead us in with the old Pick a Pocket or Two song.
You're staring at the pocket handkerchiefs, eh, my dear? We just hung them up, ready for the wash, that's all.
Is this a laundry then, sir?
Yeah, that's right, a laundry!
Exactly, my boy. I suppose a laundry would be a very nice thing indeed. But our line of business pays a little better, don't it, boys?
You're all right.
You see, Oliver, in this life, one thing counts in the bank, large amounts. I'm afraid these don't grow on trees. You've got to pick a pocket or two.
In this life, one thing counts in the bank. Large amounts. Away you go, Michael.
Oh, Jesus.
We've got a little glee club of items here, haven't we? Look at this.
We do. Would you like me to take the lead, Mr. Hart?
Go. Pick your one. I'll come in for the next one after you.
I'll tell you what, Aaron, you don't normally see these in advance, do you? You know me.
I've changed my role on the club shop update. I'm head of external club shop news now, the current affairs section, because I'm looking for controversy all around the country. So you stick to the internal stuff, mate, because you know what? I just enjoy the sheer surprise.
So, ladies and gentlemen, listeners, do you need a new case for your glasses? Do you need multiple cases for your glass? And do you like to live life on the wild side and order items online spontaneously without actually knowing what they are? Well, is this you, Aaron?
Maybe.
Well, if the answer to these is yes, then make your way down to the usual place, the Millwall Club shop, because not just stopping at being unable to spell, get their grammar right, or proofread their items for £5 with a 50% discount. Yes, it was originally a tenner. You could be the owner of either a protective shell for your specs or multiple cool bags for your beer glass.
What the hell?
Is it a glass? Because there's no picture, is there? Is it a glass?
No, exactly.
I'm picturing it being like a pair of...
Today. Yeah. They're Millwall glasses cases. So as there's no image online, please note, there's no image online for this item. And due to not letting the intern put the picture online, we genuinely don't know what this is.
We don't know what it is. Because I had in mind, when you said glasses cases, I picture that being like, you know what, you put your spectacles, when you pick up your glasses from Specsavers, I don't know if listeners out there would, you know, have to go and have their eyes tested, but you get your glasses, you get by your brand new glasses, you get like a little, you know, like a little case that you put your glasses in. So that's what
but
I picture.
But they're not giving out them on the NHS anymore, Nick.
I've worn those in the past. I had the old wire ones that went around the ears so it didn't fall off your head.
Bloody hell.
A child, long time ago now. Because there's no picture, I don't know what this is. I picture it being a spectacle case, but I'm now wondering whether it is actually a case to put drinking glasses in. But it's a...
I'll tell you what. Can someone order this and tweet what it is?
There's no
what's the returns policy in case I get the thing that I don't want?
Well, don't worry, it's not in stock.
You've got to physically take it to the club shop during the course of the summertime. You've got to get your fiver back. Honestly, it's madness because you don't know what this is. I don't know what it is. I wouldn't read this description.
Yeah, honestly, I know this is a sort of parody section. Believe it or not, this isn't normally serious, but we genuinely don't know what this is.
This is beyond parody. And in the same vein, there's a Millwall cat tag. Now, I never knew that you tagged your cat. I know that dogs have a little disc around the neck, you know, on a collar.
And I mean, it'll be a bit odd if you got into the army and go down there, get your cat tag. Yeah, but it's like, get your dog tag, not your...
But there is no image, so I don't know what this Millwall cat tag looks like. I presume it to be a small disc with a, I guess, a roaring lion on one side. And I suppose you'd have your cat's name and your... I don't know. What would you have on the other side of the cat tag? Would you have a,
Dave.
It's just a Millwall badge on it. But anyway, let me read out the little piece that we've got here. Millwall cat tag has your goth child, who you recently bought a Mill dog collar for, entered a more feline stage. £2.50 for this thing. Does your little kitty get picked up by other cats? Your little pussy get picked up by other cats next door? And do you still have the urge to buy an item that you physically have not seen as it's not on the club shop site? Well, you know where to go if your answer to these questions is yes, because with a 44% off discount at a price of only £2, the original price of this cat tag was £4.50. You too can be the owner of a Millwall cat tag. Note, there is no cat collar to attach this to. Oh, it's just the tag, is it? There is no cat collar to attach this to.
I thought, what is it? No cat included?
No cat collar. No,
I'm no, no. Forget the collar. I'm talking about a cat.
Well, you wouldn't get a cat for £2. Well, you know, you go to the fantasy cats and dogs zone, you get one for nothing, but... this is just a disc, basically. You attach it to a cat collar.
I think they do need to write no cat included, just in case.
Well, again, we have no idea what this looks like. So this is a...
Again, Aaron, there's no image.
There's no image. No, it's just like the words Millwall cat tag, price £2.50, and you're left none the wiser as to what it looks like or why you might want it if you want to spend your £2.50 on such a thing. Who orders this shit in? Who gets this stuff?
Do you know what? Who must order this in on bulk and go, this is so shit, we're not putting a picture online and just hoping someone will buy it?
It's not exactly a retail vision, is it? I mean, you wouldn't get old... The woman, was it the Queen of Shops, Mary Portillis is her name, but was it?
She revamps
the high street shops. I mean, this is like a case study for her, I should think.
Can I just say before we go on, I have to say a big thank you to the club shop for being the constant in the Acton Millwall series, regardless of what medium brand we're on.
Go on, Mickey.
No, I was just going to say it's the gift, as we said, that keeps on giving.
Well, I mean, I you know, was in cahoot with a club representative who listens to this podcast. All right, mate. And he freely admitted, or sorry, he/she freely admitted that it is a shambles.
It is a shambles.
And it's quite funny to listen to. So, yeah, viva la club shop update.
It's survived for many years. The Millwall Club shop has been an oddity since I'd started going in the 70s, it used to have like a little hut on Coldblow Lane itself, and it literally was a hut. And there was like a counter, and then you asked for your scarf, and they would go and get it for you, and that was how it was. But I don't know how a football club in 2019 has allowed this situation to come to pass, because, I mean, this is obviously, we're focusing on the tat, aren't we? I mean, there's a tattoo set that we may cover yet before we close this piece.
Ruined it.
But, well, I'll steal your thunder. But it's just, I mean, it breaks your heart, because it could be such a generator of income. There's so much interest in our club, way disproportionate to, you know, our achievements on the field. Because, you know, how many times we've been this season where we've seen, you know, mentioned the TripAdvisor set that have come to Millwall for the day out, and there's a club shop selling utter shit. And you think, if you get this right, there's a little gold mine going on there.
Whoa, are you trying to say that the Millwall whiskey decanter that you can have with your name printed on it, or the vase or whatever it is utter shit? I beg to differ.
For £125?
I beg to differ, mate. I know what I'm spending my gyro on.
Dude, who wants to do the tattoos? In fact, the tattoos.
I'll move on. So, actually, before we do, because that kindly feeds after another point, would you mind if I went on to the Merino Heritage?
No, go for it, mate. The Heritage Cardi.
Are you ready for this? So,
yeah.
So Aaron Paul,
mm.
Can you put a price on quality?
Not really, mate.
Does the word heritage spell out high design fashion to you?
Mate, it sounds like it's from like the exclusive collection.
Are you
modeled by Tamir Hassan, but yeah.
Are you at an age where cardigans are the top of your shopping list? And what does merino actually mean? Merino.
I mean quarterback, cardigans, really. Yes.
Dolphins, Miami Dolphins.
And merino. I mean, it just screams Marks and Spencer's class. Saint Michel.
Well, for a hugely, ladies and gentlemen, and club officials who listen to this show, hugely discounted 83.33% off the original retail price of £60.
60 quid for that.
How much?
£60. The original, they were selling this at one point for £60. Jesus Christ.
That works out to be 50% off. So it tells you just how good this cardigan is. You can get yourself an MFC Merino Wool Heritage cardigan. So this is just what you need as the temperature gets warmer.
That's right, that's true, yeah. One thing I would say with this cardigan, it's only available in small, it's going for a tenner, listeners. And a little bit like Neil Harris's tactics at times this season, it kind of blunders and hints at something more. This is kind of the route that might sell more. I mean, I think £60 is strong for it. But anyway, it hints at what people might want to buy, because it's a discreet little roaring lion. The roaring lion could be slightly better. The quality of the gear could be better. But this is... it's like blind man's buff. I don't know if kids still play such games, but you're kind of blundering towards something there's a target to go for here. This is the kind of thing, but not this item, I would say that. So someone somewhere has got the vaguest idea of, it must be like when the cavemen started rubbing twigs together and turn out to make fire, you know. Someone somewhere must have, well, if you keep rubbing this twig together, a spark might arise at some point. And I think this is a modern day example of that. But it's
the Merino Wool Heritage.
A tenner. I wouldn't wear it. Well, I wouldn't fit into it. It's only small size.
There you are. Well, swiftly moving on.
Mm.
So although we have mentioned the earlier cardigan item, we need to remember that when the sun comes out, what comes out?
Sunglasses.
The guns come out. Not the knobbly knees. When the sun comes out, the guns come out. And what better way to show off your power arms that have been hidden under Millwall jumpers, oversized female tops and awful khaki coats than a new Millwall tattoo? But Aaron, instead of and Nick as well, also got to remember, you haven't got any ink, have you, Nick?
I haven't got any tats, no.
Have you not, Nick? I thought you would have had some back in the day.
No, Acton Millwall
on his back, across his shoulders.
I'm as born. If the ladies are listening, I'm as I emerged into the sport.
Well, Nick, I'll tell you what. If you ever feel like, you know, getting a nice pierced ear, a convertible, and a new tattoo, so instead of going to a tattoo parlour, make your way to the club shop where for only £3.
£3.
Which is 50% off, you can get a pack of Millwall tattoos. So no need for a needle, no need for permanent ink, and no need to grab your 10-inch Zampa, Aaron, in nervousness at getting a new tattoo. These lick and stick tattoos are the envy of all those in the ZZ Top tribute bands and biker gangs.
Ideal for someone who's having a midlife crisis but doesn't want to go the whole hog and have it all, you know, there tattoo you are. Done.
Gents, can I do the club shop news from around the country, because we've had a couple bits of controversy. The first one is Mark Johnson, who's talked about Aston Villa. Who's actually,
this is outrageous. Sorry, Aaron,
yeah,
you're
mate,
right. Brace yourself.
Fucking outrageous. This is outrageous. This geezer has basically designed, I think, what does he do? Let me just hover over. He's like a graphic designer, yeah? So he designs like different bits and pieces. And what he's done is he's designed a range of T-shirts, which actually is quite a good idea. So basically, you know you have all the different kits, yeah?
Yep.
Imagine like the number 9 with like a different few Millwall kits, which are like cut across different bits and basically just like put together like a mosaic effectively. It actually is a really good idea. It looks good. It's a nice T-shirt. You know, something a bit casual and all that. Well, guess what? The club have only ripped it off, and then they've started sticking it in the club shop. And everyone else, I mean, he's put it on Twitter. Let's have a look at some of the comments. And he goes, Charlie's gone, that's a shame, where do I get yours? And he started obviously hyping up on it. Matt said, yours are much better. Yeah, poor that they've done that, to be fair. Football Shirt Collector said, that's rubbish, mate. Forza 27, wow, very poor from AVFC Official. Even if you're a freelance, even if another freelancer done it for them, it's pretty obvious to all. It's a cheap ripoff of your work. So look, football clubs, come on, man. You know, you've got the humble geezer out here. He's just trying to make a bit of
money. Just trying to make a few quid.
You know, come on. Like, he's done well there. Anyway, on to my next bit, Nick. And I know you are a man of God, Nick.
And, I pray, yeah.
You know, you're a man of God, and Easter to you is a big celebration. What Easter egg did you get, by the way, Nick?
Easter egg. We had a nice bit of lint chocolate. We like a bit of lint. We try and take it upbeat, Aaron. You know, once upon a time I might do with a Cadbury's cream egg, but these days Mrs. Hart and I, we go in for a nice little bit of lint.
You like the finer chocolate.
Yeah, those little you get the actual egg, and then you get the little selection of the lint. They're like a little ball chocolates. Very nice.
You cashed in on that pension early, Nick.
In my dreams. Not yet, mate.
How much are those ads for Acton Millwall paying?
Yeah, exactly. Jeez, man. They're about £10 an egg. I've been doing the rounds today. I've been down the supermarkets to see what's about in terms of, you know, the cheap Easter egg. And even the lint ones, they're still sitting at £10. Mickey Avery, what's your choice of Easter egg?
I have to say, Mrs. A got me a nice double decker this year.
Double decker.
Good choice.
Very nice.
They're still holding value around the 250 mark as well in Sainsbury's. Catherine Gale said, definitely Cadbury's massive fruit and nut egg. Actual egg has chocolate mega thick to get fruit and nuts and comes with a separate sharing bar. No idea what that means. Catherine, I salute you. And I actually found the actual whole nut version of that. But a Tesco, it's still £6. What I'm waiting for, Catherine, is I'm waiting for a few kids to go and beat up the boxes. So come Monday, they'll be about a quid and I'll go and buy a couple. Anyway, looking at the Easter egg situation and a headline I picked up on about a week ago now on the BBC News website is that Bristol City fans' anger at £7 rip-off Easter egg in the club shop. Yeah,
Seven bob.
A football club shop has been criticised for rebranding a £1 Easter egg and selling it for £7. So what Bristol City have done, naughty, is they've bought the cream egg Easter egg, they've taken the egg out, they've eaten the actual cream egg itself, and then they've just stuck it in a Bristol sport box. I think they've got a few different teams, like a basketball team, Bristol Flyers and Bristol City and all that, and they're selling it for £7. And Michael McGuinness has said, despite being my club, I've got to bring this up. Bristol City selling £1 Easter eggs with a Bristol City cardboard cover for £7, which led the BBC's research team to pick up also that Bristol City are selling the Bristol City Toblerone as well. Which we've come across as well, which is available for £12 when you can get a similar sort of Toblerone for about £3.50. So, yeah, absolute controversy in the club shop industry this week. Real horrendous stories.
So that Bristol Easter egg is literally just a chocolate egg with nothing in it.
No, it's a Cadbury's egg. So they've literally gone and bought a Cadbury's Easter egg.
Yeah.
Taken it out of the box and put it in a new box.
That is shocking, isn't it? That is shocking. I mean, we're making fun, and we make fun of the Mill Club Shop. We're making fun of some, but these are examples, I think, of the way that football industry tries to screw its customers. Like they're just units. I mean, it goes to the very, very top table.
I'm sorry, Nick. I need to interrupt because the final item of the Club Shop update screams Millwall. We were talking about that list earlier on. We was talking about that list earlier on of what makes a Millwall fan and all that malarkey. If this item here does not scream Bermondsey, I don't know what is. Are you ready, Aaron?
I'm ready, mate.
Do you know what, listeners? I don't normally give you a lot of shout out directly, but I think you might need to have a sit down for this one. So, I'm going to ask you both together. Do you like to be beside the seaside?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Who does?
Do you want to go on a little jolly holiday?
Why not?
Oh, always up for a nice little jolly.
And do you like to go down to Sheerness and Laysdown's finest coastal establishments but simply cannot afford the train fare?
Possibly.
Just say yes for the sake of the QVC advert.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, everyone, well, look no further than the Millwall Club Shop, where you'll be able to bring that weekend away feel to the streets of Bermondsey, because for the fantastic price of only 50 pence with 90% off. Originally, Aaron Paul, originally, these were a fiver.
Fiver.
You can buy yourself, brace yourself, I'm really not joking. You can buy yourself not one, not two, not three, but a Millwall four pack of rock.
Rock. Seaside rock. It's £5 for that. I mean, honestly, I mean, 50p at the moment, you'd probably say, yeah, okay, I wouldn't buy it.
When was the last time you had a stick of rock, Nick?
Stick of rock? Bloody hell. I must have been a kid, I suppose, when we used to go on holidays to places like Laysdown, Sheppey and
Not when you went on the secret romantic weekend with Mrs. Hart that you didn't want to tell anyone.
Stick of rock. The jokes write themselves there, don't they? Anyway, we'll move on from that. Four pack of rock. Oh, my God. 50p seems a fair price. A fiver seems extremely strong, doesn't it? I mean, I wonder if people... I'd love to see the shop returns. I mean, has anyone bought this stuff at any point over the course of the season?
I mean, the best thing is what we need to do is we actually need to go through the club accounts and look at the fixed stuff and all that.
We need to go through the club accounts. If they're listening, we know they listen. We want to go through the club accounts. So maybe
one day,
and if you don't know what,
it could be the debut Acton Millwall video. Michael Avery, Aaron Paul, Harry Warren, and Nick Hart working in the club shop.
I'll put a pair of sliders on and get slagged off on the.
Do you reckon a certain mop-haired member of staff can show me how to use the printing machine?
Remember, there's no wires, so you can only get Gregor on the back.
Fantastic.
And that's your weekly club shop update, ladies and gentlemen.
It is the club shop update, the ultimate in retail-based audio. It's absolutely brilliant. It's your Millwall fan show. Question, why is Millwall Stoke kicking off at 1:30 on Saturday?
I think it's got security overtones, isn't it? Millwall Stoke traditionally is a fairly hot fixture. And there's also a lot going on in London at the moment. I came back through the city today and there's protests left, right and centre. So I think the police resources are stretched and they want to get it over and done with early doors. But it seems a bit silly, to be honest with you.
I think also it was originally meant to be the last game of the season, which traditionally has always kicked off early, isn't it? It's always
Palace,
been an early
Palace are playing at home, Spurs are playing at home, Fulham are playing at home, Watford at home, QPR at home, elsewhere, Wimbledon at home. Quite a few games going on in London.
Stoke's travelling support traditionally is, they bring a lot. They're normally loud inside the stadium. They're
singing
good
Tom Jones. Traveling.
Yeah, I've got a lot of time for Stoke. It's one of those old school kind of clubs, and
my man's got a phobia
about Stoke.
Not Stoke on Trent. He's actually got a phobia of Stoke on Trent. Like, if you mention the word Stoke-on-Trent to him...
He don't like it. Could,
no, he goes all weird. Like, I know he's banned from certain parts of Scandinavia, but he is actually banned from, like, Sweden and... Like, I think Sweden, Norway and Denmark he's banned from.
For what?
You know... it was to do with Sony Ericsson and Nokia, but we'll talk about it off air.
Another time
from Scandinavia, but Stoke on Trent, like literally, you know, we always talk about it. Even like if we're driving to Manchester or something like that, he goes a bit funny when we pass Stoke on Trent. It's like he's got a phobia of Stoke. He'll freely admit it, he's got a phobia of Stoke on Trent.
Does he do the shudder?
Yeah, he goes really weird. Like if you mention it, you're like, oh mate, fucking it's only Stoke.
Delilah, that's their song. Delilah. It's normally fairly impressive when they do Delilah, I think. But
when they do the one line. She saw me laughing. Ha ha ha. I put my 10-inch Zamper in her hand, and she laughed.
And she laughed no more. Why, Delilah? So yeah, I think that's why it's kicking off early. A win will be fantastic. Just to sort this damnable season out and have done with it. So. We're not doing the predictions yet. Are we doing the score predictions? Shall we do them now? Score predictions for Saturday? I'm going to predict that we're going to win. I think we'll do it. We'll get over the line. And then we can forget about the season and write it off to, you know, grim memory. So Millwall 1, Stoke City 0.
Mickey Avery.
I was going to go 1-0, but I can't take that now. So I'll go for a 2-1.
They've drawn a lot of games, Stoke, this season. I think they've drawn the most of the Championship. So I'm going to go for a 1-0 as well, Nick. I really think it's got 1-0 written all over it and a
bit of
safety.
Do it in your BBC voice. Come on.
Millwall 1, Stoke City. In my Hamish Marshall voice.
Yeah, home counties, you know, come on.
Yeah. Millwall 1, Stoke City 0. There you go. Mickey Avery's going to close off the show with us tonight.
Before we go, are we going to do the Teds next season? Next week, right.
Just to announce our inaugural award ceremony, Nick. I mean, you know, you've got the end of season awards. If you don't want to pay £100, £99 to attend the club end of season awards,
a cheaper version, shouldn't we? Maybe hold
well, yeah, in a pub or something. Somewhere, you know. We'll get them up for pie and mash or something like that. For £6.50, you could have the Ted. And the player might be there, they might not be there. But yeah.
The Ted Awards. I guess, yeah. Named after Teddy Sheringham, in case anyone's asking.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Do you know what my money to win it is? Oh, Jake Cooper.
For sex pot of the season. Yeah.
Oh, Jake, nut job of the year. Anyway, we've got some special guests coming on the shows, you know. Also, keep the interaction coming. It's quite nice. Yeah.
Nice bit of interaction. Apologies for Harry who left us earlier on. The reception and the radiation chamber just became too much, so he did start the show, but he didn't finish it. But that's the story of Harry's life, I hear.
that's all from us right now, though. Do join us back at half time for a bit more entertainment. Until then, enjoy the game. And young Mickey Avery.
Bye for now.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
It's the question that's on everyone's mind. How do you live a good life? Is it about work, health, or relationships? What about happiness, meaning, and money? What really matters? And how can you dramatically improve all of these things? These are the questions we explore every week on the top-ranked podcast, Good Life Project, hosted by award-winning author and perpetual seeker, Jonathan Fields, which also happens to be me. Every week, I sit down with world-renowned researchers, experts, and scions of art and industry on the Good Life Project podcast. This week, in fact, we're sharing a fantastic conversation with the author, Elizabeth Gilbert, about a single practice that changed her life. Listen to the Good Life Project podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.